to me, serving people where they at and where they are mentally first is way important than talking about. It's like people are drowning, right? And you want to give them a lifeboat, like that little donut thing for them to hold on to feel like they're okay. And then once you bring them on the boat, right, they feel safe, they feel secure, they feel like they can breathe. And then they're like, okay, so now where are we going? That's a natural evolve.
Welcome to the Nutrition Content Creator Podcast. This is where health and wellness professionals come to nail their nutrition content game, scale their practices, and get clients the results they are looking for. Get ready to unlock your potential as a nutrition professional. I'm your host, Jeannie Petrucci, registered dietitian nutritionist, culinary coach, and expert nutrition content creator. And I'm super excited to go on this journey with you, supporting you with actionable steps you can take to save time and become more competitive. In this podcast, I'll provide you with solutions. I'll be sharing my knowledge and expertise on how to create compelling, dynamic nutrition content that attracts, serves, and retains your ideal clients. Content that also supports you with growing your practice. Let's get into today's episode. Some people leave a lasting impact after you meet them for the first time. Wintana is one of those people. Her energy and passion are contagious, and her heart is full of grace. She has been a Living Plate RX member since day one and has pushed us to deliver content that supports her in growing her private practice. Wintana brings her unique background in fashion and modeling to her practice, serving her clients with a level of compassion that addresses the whole person and their environment. From how they stock their kitchens to how they stock their closets, Wintana is there for them. She is an avid learner who pursues education that will add value to her practice and impact her clients' lives. I have no doubt that her recent pursuit of functional nutrition training will further elevate the level of her services. I have always believed that each of us can bring former life experiences as well as new learnings to the counseling room to enrich our services. Wintana serves as an example for all of us. I know you'll enjoy this conversation. Wintana, welcome to the Nutrition Content Creator Podcast.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Jeannie. You are one of my favorite people.
Likewise, like you and I connected a long time ago. I actually remember one of our first conversations. It was around this time. It was in March. I remember because I was in Florida on spring break with my kids. Mm-hmm. And you and I had a very long conversation. It was like an hour long. I'm outside talking on the phone. And I was at a point in my business where I was really just trying to figure it out. I think it was 5 years ago. It had to be 5 years ago. And just trying to figure out how am I going to best serve my colleagues. And you were just telling me as it is. You're like, you need to do this, 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 and this. And I can always count on you for your candor and your directness, but also you do it with such a loving touch. And I really appreciate that. And I care for you deeply. And I'm super excited to see you in May at the Today's Dietitian Symposium.
Yeah, I'm excited. The thing is, you are one of the dietitians that actually created a tool to like make our life easy. And I just wanted you to win because I saw the vision and I want the vision to exist. So that's why I'm just like, I mean, it was even Gathering Plates, remember the company?
It was Gathered Table was the gathered platform table. That I was leveraging.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I got introduced to you in Fincy when they were there. And then they're like, you need to meet this dietitian. And so when I saw what you're trying to do, I was just like, oh my God, if this thing like takes off, it would help a lot of people. And you know me, I love anything automation, helping people decrease decision fatigue. That's all you do for us. So I just, you know, selfishly, I wanted you to win.
It's amazing. And that was clear. Like you've always been like a guiding light for me for a lot of different areas of my business. And so thank you so much. I would love for you to start this podcast episode with an introduction of yourself and letting our listeners know who you are, who you serve and how you serve them, a little bit about your business. So let's start with who you are.
So hello, everyone. My name is Wintan Ekshurst. I am originally from East Africa, Ethiopia. I have been a dietitian for over a decade. I'm a mom of two busy boys. And I have a private practice called Reset Lifestyle. And at in Reset Lifestyle, we focus on preventative health. We do behavioral change. And our little niche is styling because of who I was before I became a clinical dietitian. And one of our philosophy and what makes us really different from other services is that we have a whole person approach to wellness. We believe that diet and exercise is only 33% of your wellness, that it's more important to be aware of your habits around your sleep, your stress, your emotional awareness and environment, because we know it directly impacts what you eat, when you eat, how well you eat, and how well you move. It is the heart of what we do. And I've worked in long-term care. I actually started at Johns Hopkins. My residency for my internship was there. So I saw the process of the clinical side, and then I went to long-term care, and then I went to subacute. And the theme was all the same. You know, we call them frequent flyers, but these are the individuals who never had like external or outpatient support, and they just keep coming for the same problem over and over again. And it kind of broke my heart, you know what I mean? And then I saw more and more young people being admitted for stroke and heart disease and all this stuff. When I was in my last clinical job, I was just like, I have to break out and do something to help break this cycle. You know what I mean? And that's how Reset Lifestyle kind of existed, is really to answer and to solve and support people to prevent disease before it becomes chronic. So that's our passion.
And you alluded to you bringing some different type of life experience or expertise into dietetics. And what was that? What did you do before becoming a dietitian?
So before I became a dietitian, my side hustle was a stylist. So I did modeling for DC Fashion Week, Virginia Fashion Week. As a college student, I really loved the creative side of things. And then I did creative projects with photographers, and I did like local fashion shows. I directed a couple of them for like cancer awareness or like AIDS and HIV awareness in my college. So I really loved everything that is creative, you know? And then it was, for me, it kind of dawned on me, like when I was working with one of my clients, doing a regular nutrition consultation, I've helped her get to her health goals. She was still like not comfortable and confident in her body, but I knew how to fix that, right? I said, let's go shopping. Let's just give you a couple pizzas to make you feel comfortable. And it just clicked then, you know, like I can really put all my skills, my training and my hobby into one place, how I can really help people and serve people, most importantly, with all my gifts, you know, my skills and my training into one place. And that's how, it was just clicked, you know, it just clicked on. I was just like, oh my God, I could do this as a one whole thing. And all my clients love it. Currently, I outsource that just because we're growing. And I feel like I need a team to do that part so I could just do like the overall connection. And then over a period of time, we started as a nutrition service. And now we have evolved into a wellness practice, because the more we work with clients, they didn't just need nutrition. They needed like a naturopath. They needed like a good primary care a primary care provider that they feel like they were heard and seen. And, you know, there's a lot of discrimination in the healthcare system. So I worked with a couple physicians locally who have physically visited their office and interacted with them to make sure when I'm referring clients to them, that they really see and hear them, you know, because most of these clients have not seen a primary care doctor for 3 to 4 years. So like, I feel like my business has been evolving by identifying the barriers that I find as I go along. It's like, I'm willing to evolve to serve my clients at whatever level.
Such a good lesson. willing to evolve to serve your clients rather than saying, this is what I want to do and this is how I want to serve people, flipping that to say, how do these people I want to serve need to be served, right? Yeah. And then drawing on your, what a beautiful story, and drawing on your expertise in fashion and style and kind of bringing that into the mix is just really spectacular and very different. I love this little niche that you've carved out for yourself. And I brought culinary experience to nutrition, which is not as big of a leap, right? But to bring fashion and style into it is just super interesting to me. And you've done it so well. Tell us a little bit more about the people that you serve, the population that you serve. Who is coming to you for help?
Oh, absolutely. So my target audience are busy, high-achieving women, women who run businesses, work in corporate America, or who are in healthcare services like doctors, pharmacists, nurses, therapists. They usually are really good and thriving in their industry. They're goal getters. But when you're looking at their wellness, they really are struggling, right? It's something is being sacrificed. So I help them, really, it's about helping them decrease decision fatigue and automating their wellness with tools and strategies in place, whether it's recipe curation, thanks to Living Plate, wink, wink, helping them create like a 2-week cycle menu to kind of automate that decision of feeding themselves and their family, coming up with strategies and tools when they're on the go, on travel, and optimizing their supplementation. So it really is looking at this woman and helping her not to make more decisions about her wellness on a daily basis is the game changer. And also connecting them to the helping them create their wellness team. I think that's also another game changer for me, is seeing them going to the primary care doctor because they haven't seen them for 3 to 4 years, right? And then getting that lab result, customizing their nutrition need based on those results. If they have GI issue, we send them to the naturopath. We get to the root of the problem. We're not just like saying, here's what you need, follow this. Right. It's very customized and individualized to their need. And on top of that layer, we have the cultural piece, right? That is what makes who they are. So we also help them integrate that so that they don't feel deprived and away from their cultural meals as well. So that's how we do it. And that's who these clients need. They don't need another diet recommendation for them to be followed. AI could do that for them, but AI cannot give them strategies and tools to kind of automate their wellness and decrease decision fatigue.
And accountability too. Like I know you are there for your patients for sure. And I got goosebumps when you talked about, you were basically delivering your unique value proposition, which is that you're basically eliminating the decision-making process, because these are high-performing individuals who are making decisions about everything in their life and in their business, and they do have decision fatigue. So how can you support them and by automating that decision-making process? Now, you're not talking about like AI automation, right? Like having a machine tell you, but just really putting on repeat, some type of a plan, some type of a meal planning repertoire, like find recipes that you like and then just, repeat it and refresh it. And just sounds like you and your team are making it easy for them to make the behavior changes without having to make all of those decisions, right? Like, what am I going to have as a snack? What am I going to have for breakfast? What am I going to have for dinner?
It's not only that, because I think most people don't understand that meal planning process is a 6 to 8 hour job. Think about it, from the start to the going to the grocery shopping, to coming back, to unpacking, all of that is 6 to 7 hour job. And when you tell people this, they automatically understand why they fail and why they're not consistent, because they try to do it all in one day, right? So one of the things that we do is we hack the client's schedule. We look at their schedule from waking up to going to bed, where their time is being spent. So we make sure that their nourishment time is there, their thinking time is there, their grocery time is scheduled, and their prep time is scheduled. So that way, it's not cumbersome, it's sustainable, it's not like they're not failing because they're not doing it. They're failing right. because of the amount of responsibilities that they have. So their responsibility is way high than the resources that they have. And the resources usually is time, family support, and energy overall, you know? And
as you talked about that from the beginning, that kind of, you know, that scale, right? That is has an inverse relationship, right? Like you only have so many resources and you can't keep them both, you know, here I'm pointing like at a ceiling, right? Yeah. What something has to give. And so meeting in the middle, I love that you, as part of the assessment process, you take a look at what does your day look like? Not just what is your intake, right? Because that's what we're trained to do, right? Like, tell me about what you ate for the past 3 days. No, tell me about what you do. Like, when you wake up and what is your work schedule like, right? Yep. That is incredible that you use that to build this intervention, which is, yep. you know, your special sauce, right? This very unique intervention that helps them kind of automate their decision-making process.
Yeah.
So you alluded a little bit to how you serve them, but I want to hear, and I'm sure that our listeners want to hear a little bit more about how do you serve these individuals? So once somebody is a client of yours, what are the tools and resources and actions as their practitioner that you take to support them?
Yeah. So depending on what their need is, they either go into a group coaching setting so that they can meet other high achieving women, or into one-on-one. If they have a lot of, you know, barriers in their personality also, if they're like shy, they don't want to do other people right now, or if they're coming from having a lot of, you know, baggage and trauma because they just have a lot going on, they just can't deal with others, we just offer one-on-one sessions. And then once they finish their 6-week session, we then group them into a membership-like model where we do twice a month education. And then we hold each other accountable on Fridays. We check in what's your wins and learns. So there's a continual support. We don't expect our clients to work with us just for 6 sessions or 6 months and walk away, because it's an ongoing habit. And, you know, most people think, you know, you can change a habit in 21 days, but it actually takes 66 days or more to just form one habit. So if I'm teaching them how to master 6, so it would definitely take 1.5 years to master all of them, right? And but at the same time, be a wife, be an employee, you know, be a mom,
be a mother. Yeah. Yeah.
All of that. So it's not realistic. So I kind of pace and teach them. I do this workshop called Visual Wellness Plan, where we help you just focus on 3 habits for the first 90 days that you're going to intentionally implement into your busy, overwhelmed life. And then once you get that juggle, it's like I always use this analogy. It's like, I'm going to teach you how to juggle eventually at the end 6, but we're going to start with 1 and 2. Like eventually, you know, you're not even thinking that you're doing it. We do habit stacking into what they already do into their day. So we kind of automate that part of that. And they also, the best compliment I get from my clients is when Tana, I'm not even thinking about it and I'm getting all these amazing results, right? Because that mental burden is already plugged in with things that they are already doing.
You are so in the zone. Like one of the things that you just said, everything that you are doing is super deliberate, right? Based on your UVP, your unique value proposition, and your mission. You are a mission and service oriented person first and foremost. I know that about you. But even your words, like on Fridays, you called it wins and learns. Mm-hmm. How cool is that, right? Wins and learns versus like wins and losses or wins and failures. No, because there's a learn. You're going to win, great, but sometimes you learn the most from when you're not winning, right? So recognizing that. So I love that. I wanted to point that out. When you said that, I'm like, man, Wintana, you are just super deliberate about really every piece of the programming that you put together. And then also, I want to talk a little bit about selling, right? Quote unquote, selling your longer program. In less than 60 seconds, you used language to totally sell your program without saying you have to buy this, right? You presented a case of, you know, this is how habit you know, this is how behavior change works. This is how, in my experience, how, you know, people have the most success, and it's going to take you a year and a half. So the membership program is really the best way that you can serve your clients. How do you have that conversation? You know, when you first bring somebody in and like, oh, I just, you know, I just want to come for, you know, twice a week or once a week for a month, that when you know that you can best serve them in a longer term program, how do you have that conversation with them?
So I think for me, so we start baby steps, right?
Right.
People would believe in, and some people ask, so what happens after succession? I don't even bring the membership up in the beginning of our conversation because people have so much overwhelming burden that I want to just take care of them where they are, right?
Nope.
I offer the membership if they have the bandwidth, but the first six sessions that they have with me is really nurturing them and taking care of them, right? And naturally, people want to get more of it. So I don't even have to, you know, and then you'll naturally see like session four, they're like, okay, so what am I doing next? You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't even bring membership, honestly, they will see it on the website that there's a membership part. But to me, serving people where they at, and where they are mentally first is way important than talking about. It's like people are drowning, right? And you want to give them a lifeboat, like that little donut thing for them to hold on to feel like they're okay. And then once you bring them on the boat, right, they feel safe, they feel secure, they feel like they can breathe. And then they're like, okay, so now where are we going? That's a natural evolve. But if you're drowning on that, you know, on the ocean, and I'm telling you, by the way, we're going here, right? Ma'am, like I am drowning here. Who cares where we're going? Help me out, you know? So that's how I see it. I see it like, I want you to know me and see how I take care of you. Let me help you get out of your current situation. Let's get you to safety, right? Whatever that looks like for you, whether it's getting your blood sugars controlled, whether helping you sleep better, helping you stress manage better, like automating or improving your, you know, environment. Then you have a breathing room to think long-term investment in your health. But most people, they don't even know about the membership until like fourth or fifth. But I don't even, unless that if someone asks what is next, I don't, you know.
And there are a lot of ways that people will kind of hint at that. They might not say, okay, what is next? But during the counseling session, you're going to hear them allude to that, right? Like, I want to continue to have results. I want to, you know, if they have lost weight, like I want to maintain this weight loss, or I want to continue to be active, or maybe I want to up my activity so that I can, you know, be more active with my kids. Like all of that kind of language you can take in and then offer them that. And do you feel guilty when you offer somebody the membership? Does it make you feel kind of icky? Like, ooh, I'm selling a membership.
I used to feel like in the beginning of my career, I feel like what I do, it's human rights. What we do, how we take care of people is human rights, right? At the end of the day, every human has the right, the human right to have a health and like good health, good health outcome down the line, right? That's human right to me. So I always felt like what I do is life and death for people, right? It's the it health span versus lifespan, right? Like their health quality of life, I can completely improve by 7 to 3 years. That's evidence-based, right? If you don't do anything about their health, they will have sick type of health. Long term, they will have to manage chronic disease where their long term health doesn't look and feel good, right? So right. I always feel guilty from that. I used to feel guilty from that perspective. Let me use it in the past, but I realized at the end of the day, what I do is an investment. I don't even say this is, you know. So how would you like to invest? Is what I say. I never say how do you like to pay, because pay sounds like a product that I'm giving you, you're purchasing. What we do is an investment. How do you want to invest in your health? Do you want to do a monthly payment, or do you want to do long, you know, like one-time payment where you save money? So we really look at it from investment perspective. And then people naturally want to hang out because they see their true heart in the work that we do, right? And they want to be around. I don't know how to else explain it. I have clients with me for 4 or 5 years now because we have reversed fatty liver. We have reversed metabolic disorder. We have reversed hypertension. They just come in every 4 to 6 months to be like, I did my lab work. You know, I checked in with my doctor. And to me, that's a big win.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I hope I answered your question. I feel like I'm right.
No, you totally did. And I hope our listeners are taking notes, because that was a pro answer. You know, the investment piece of it, like, how are you going to invest in your health? And the true belief, like, you are being authentic, and you are trying to take care of that human as best as you can. And your membership for that person at that stage is the best way that you can serve them, right? So yeah. It does feel good. And, you know, we often talk about this among colleagues about, you know, do I offer a membership? Do I not offer a membership? Like, for you, it kind of came naturally because people were asking you what's next, right? So, you know, starting with the one-on-one program and the group program, and people having success will fuel a membership. You just don't open up a membership and, you know, people come. That's not how it works. And also, question, do 100% of your patients enroll in your membership? I know what the answer is going to be, but I don't want to hear from you.
No, they don't.
Okay. Are you okay with that?
Oh, absolutely. So here's the thing. Because they know I'm here, you know,
right. Because
they're time poor, they got what they need. Now they're on the boat, right? They are safe. They feel comfortable in their body. They can breathe. They can do, now they can, you know, apply for that promotion. I have been invited to so many cool opportunities from my client because they have achieved the goal that they thought they couldn't, right? So for me, it's like, I don't know, it's all work and I love it. So for some people, it's a great fit because they love that. It's all personality too. Let me just put it that way. Personality wise, if you like, you're extrovert, you like the accountability, you go in there. And I have people who sign up for the membership. They're not necessarily active, but they send me messages directly to me if they have a question to me while they are in their maintenance phase, right? But they also
just knowing, even if, like you said, even if they don't engage, just knowing that they have access to you and they can reach out to you and have that safety net.
Yeah.
That there's value there, right?
Right. And I think it makes them feel safe knowing that, like, it's like teaching people how to swim and then the lifeguard just leaving the site. You know what I mean? Like,
I love this analogy, by the way. This is awesome. Yeah. It's just so great.
I don't feel like I haven't, like, I'm a mama bear, like, when it comes to my clients. Like, I don't bring in things or I don't recommend products. That's why I also have a hard time working with brands, because of just the integrity aspect of it. I mean, I've been approached with the most ridiculous random things. I'm sure you've been too. But I'm always protective of the people. And to me, my work is a ministry. Like, I'm a woman of faith. So what I do is a ministry. So I'm very protective of the people that I serve, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense.
And it's like, my hope eventually is to be, like, profitable. You know, like, I'm doing this. I feel like I'm a mompreneur because my kids are young, like they're 6 and 8. So I'm doing this part time. And eventually when they grow up a little bit more, then I can expand my team, you know. But for now, you know, this is how I want to serve people and how I want to take care of people. Because they're somebody's mom, they're somebody's sister, they're somebody's auntie. You have to look at the clients that way. And I know.
Right.
We're not supposed to be attached to our clients, like our patients at the hospital. But I'm the person that cries in long-term care when I lose my patients.
Right.
And remain so. that's the hard part about the work that I do. It's like, it has a lot of heart. And of course, my feelings are going to be hurt if clients don't do what they want to do and they change their mind. They're allowed, but it's just, I have more wins than losses. I have receipts to prove it. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity to continue to serve the audience who, you know, God has called me to serve at the end of the day.
And it sounds like your plan is to put more time into Reset Lifestyle and grow it. And what you're doing right now is building your foundation to be able to do that and to scale.
Right. Right? The scaling part, exactly. The scaling part is not there because I have a couple like healthcare providers or like low-key mentors. They're women. They have their own private practice. Like the doctors I get referral from, they have been in practice for 20 some years and they always said, slow down, you know, pace yourself. And it's hard, like someone who want to do more like me, but like right. Not missing out in the season of my life, like looking at my life and seasons as a business owner is so important because you don't want to rush it and miss a whole thing that, you know, and I've worked in long-term care. That's the thing. I've worked with long-term care and seen the people who have aged well and who has their loved one there. And then I've taken care of a billionaire, right? And I know how his family was treating him. And it just was like, we just have to find this halfway middle where you grow, but you grow, you know, in a sustainable, small increment way so that show up for your family, you still are doing business. It's not exponential yet because of the season of your life, especially as a mom. I call myself mompreneur more than anything. Yeah, I'm not doing this full time. I can't because of my season of life. But
I guarantee you more than half of the people listening to this are not full time in their businesses, or maybe they don't want, they, you know, they either can't or they don't want to be, right? They want to work. They don't want to work 40, 50 hours a week. They want to work 30, maybe 20, maybe 15. So this is, you know, you've accomplished so much with the time that you have.
Oh, I never knew it that way. So thank you for recognizing it.
Yeah, no, you definitely, I mean, you look like you're working, you know, 40 hours a week based on what I can see from afar. And I'd like to transition into talking about that now too, because I do see, you know, you bring that style aspect into your practice and into, you know, the education that you provide for and support that you provide for your patients, but also you do a lot of collaborations on social media, which I know benefit your practice and drive traffic. Can you talk a little bit about that? And, you know, where did that start and why do you do it?
Okay. So, you know, for what I want to do, is really push this message of that diet and exercise is only 33% of the solution. Like you have to have this diverse or very open perspective about your health, right? For that to happen, you need your wellness team, right? And the wellness team could be a lifestyle team and it could be a medical team. I call them lifestyle because when you work with hormone dietitian or sex therapist, or clean beauty expert, or a stylist, or a professional home organizer, that's the practical, tangible way you can really optimize your environment, especially as a woman, right?
Right, right.
And having that perspective and helping people see, like walking in and looking at your closet and feeling like you can't fit any of your clothes, what happens to you? You are releasing cortisol early in the morning because you're already stressed because your environment is not optimized, right? So what if we change that? You feel good when you walk in your closet, you know your clothes fit, you feel good. And what did we just do? We just decreased cortisol. You feel good, like your hormones are in a positive perspective. I don't think people see the way I see it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right, right.
Experts, having these, I call them lifestyle experts, be visible in my practice will only help people see themselves as a whole person. So that's really how it came about. Like, and some of these providers are the providers It's a personal journey for me. Also, these are the providers who helped me gain my health and confidence back as I was journeying in motherhood season two. You lose yourself, you lose your identity, like everybody yep. talks about this. But these are that some of the women or some of the providers that kind of helped me get back to myself. So I also know these are the providers I used to help me gain my health and confidence back. So it's not an algorithm that I'm mimicking somebody else. It's really my lived experience and who helped and improve my life. And I want to not gatekeep, as they would say. I want to share with you so that you can also feel good and feel confident and feel like you have your health back. And my clients know that the foundation of building yourself up slowly. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's where all these collaborations started. It's because of my own personal journey.
I don't think that's uncommon. I think yours is quite unique because I love the way that you talked about when you say environment, like I think refrigerator, freezer, pantry, right? You just have a much broader and really holistic view of, and particularly as it relates to women, of their, you know, total environment, like the closet, right? And I mean, that is so personal for so many people.
Oh,
and yeah. and as you noted, it's important to health, physical health, as well as mental and emotional health too.
Absolutely.
Like it's all of that. And yeah. So I love that you're bringing your personal, I mean, some people like for me, right, being touched by celiac disease, that's the piece that I bring, right? So it's a little bit easier for me to draw that direct line to nutrition. Yours is a different kind of an experience. And again, just so unique, which is why I asked you to join us. Why I want everybody to hear this story, because I don't think we're doing enough of that.
No. And the truth is, if you do interview your like when you keep track of why people hire you, it was mind blowing. The affirmation. You would think the people that are hiring you is because they want to improve their lives. They are hiring you because they can't fit their clothes. Think about it. A lot of, whether it was man or female, man or a woman in my practice, whenever I ask them, why are you here? Why now? They're like, man, I can't fit any of my clothes. And so clothes has a lot to do with it. And a lot of people think it's a vanity thing and things like that, but it's not. It's a very practical thing. Like you can't show up to work if the clothes that doesn't fit you, especially if you are uniform based,
Right. Or show up with a certain level of confidence too. And, you know, rather than being hyper-focused on changing your body to fit the clothes, how about we consider potentially changing the clothes too. Like they don't have to be mutually exclusive, right?
And that's the biggest lesson I teach my clients is like, let's release. Let's be a blessing to other people who are in that same size. Let's honor, let's respect where you are right now. Like, you know, how do I say this? You cannot do good for someone you don't like, right? You don't. You don't do anything good for someone you like. So I'm saying, I know you don't like yourself right now, right? And for some people, they want to get to love, but I want to get people to mutually just respect. Let's respect her right here where she is, right? Let's clothe her appropriately. Let's take care of her where she's at. Because when you do that, you feel kind of good a little bit. You don't feel like, you know, like
beautiful. So that's a beautiful sentiment.
Right.
Right. Because we do hear a lot about love your body, love your body. Well, you know, right now, maybe a person doesn't love their body. And what you're saying is that's okay, but you need to respect your body and respect where you are right now. And that's a very, very cool perspective.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like my job is to just help people just change perspective on point of view, you know, from different angles and from different like habits or factors that affect their health. And it's the crazy part is when you start to really like see people and help them, most people, you will start to notice nutrition and exercise. It's not it. It's because of the stress. It's because of their emotional lack of emotional intelligence. It's the lack of sleep that's making all of the decisions of what they're eating and what they're, how they're moving. So when you fix it from the root of the problem, the nutrition selection and the movement just improves.
It fixes itself.
It fixes itself, right? So finding the etiology, like the root of the problem is where the game changer is. And then on top of that, because you are a woman and you know, and you put these other axillary support of sending someone who's a professional organizer, like help them and like automate and reset their pantry and their closet, just makes their everyday decisions much easier, right? And you're decreasing, again, hormonal stress in their lives, and connected them to the right provider, like therapist, is helping them, deal with the grief they're dealing with, because they didn't even know they were dealing with grief, because they, as women, we're just pushing. You know what I mean? We're not slowing down to address the mental health, the stress, the stuff that we're dealing with in a more, with the right skill set or the right tools that we get from therapists. So having that in place, you'll start to see that, oh my God, I feel better. Like my self-talk is better. And I'm now able to identify the 12 cognitive distortion there is. So when I'm in it, I could catch it and be like, nope, nope, nope. Right?
So right.
That's the kind of support that's really helping people truly like create lifestyle changes to me.
Everybody listening here is like, I want to be in Wintana's group.
You just have such
incredible insight and such a refreshing perspective on holistic care, right? Mm-hmm. The health care, the mind, the emotion, that decision overload too. It's just so true for so many people, right? Just not having to make one more decision would be really helpful in allowing them to change their behaviors, for the better and changing their perspective and their mindset and all of that.
Yeah.
So tell me what's exciting you right now in the area of nutrition and you already bring so much to your mm-hmm. patients and to your practice. What kinds of things are you looking to do to either expand your offering or just things that are on your radar?
Yeah. I wrote a book last year. It came out. It's anti-inflammatory, 28 day anti-inflammatory diet with collaboration with Prevention Magazine. Having this anti-inflammatory lifestyle as a banner for everything that I do, because it's preventative, right? It's not prescriptive. Anti-inflammatory diet is not a prescriptive diet. It's prevention. And so I want to kind of use that banner as what I would be known for in a way, like helping you create right. an inflammatory lifestyle, because now I have a name for it, if that makes sense.
Oh, right.
I love functional testing now. It has game changed my personal health. So I'm definitely looking into like functional nutrition, of how to integrate like functional testing, like the genetic testing. What's mind blowing when I did it, I was like, oh, it makes sense why X, Y, and Z. So then it's like now even fine tuning it to like more genetically to down to your genetics, like optimizing your health. So I'm looking into that. Like I'm fascinated about that.
You like to learn, I can tell, right? It's part of who you are, right? You're always learning. You're always reading. You pursue knowledge with such enthusiasm. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love that new way of prevention. I think for me, because I was a clinician, I was an interventionist for such a long time. And now I got addicted to like helping people truly like transform.
Before you go, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because you and I've had conversations about this, about your, approaching, you're talking about automating the process, right, for meal planning and food selection. How do you consider cultural preferences when you're doing that? Because not everybody you are serving has the same preferences or brings the same history to the table, right? The same, eating patterns at the table. What is your approach there and what is your team's approach there?
I do what I call PFF plus C. Like, it's a little model that I teach my clients. It's having protein, healthy fat, and fiber plus whatever they are craving into the plate. So that kind of, it doesn't have to sometimes look like my plate where half of their plate is vegetable and a quarter is, you know, protein, a quarter is starch. So when they're always thinking, where's my protein, where's my fiber, and where's the healthy fat at each of their plate, it kind of stabilizes the blood sugar. It kind of stabilizes the insulin spike, right? And then within that parameter, we put in the macros in there, like carb, protein, and fat. So it kind of helps them tangibly see how they can use their cultural meals, because some of the stuff that they buy has a nutrition label.
Right.
And they can then use that concept of PFF in a way to honor their culture and tradition.
So it gives them flexibility. It really gives them flexibility about those specific foods, right? So if it's the pork, if it's the lentils, if it's the, you know, spicy tomato dish that you like just, it should be, you should be able to fit all of that into it, that PFF framework that you created. Dietitians love frameworks. I was talking to somebody in our last podcast about that. Like, we love a good framework, right? So if one doesn't exist, we'll create our own. So you created your own and you use that as a tool to support your patients in automating their diet and helping them reset their lifestyle, right?
Shameless plug.
Yeah. So please let our listeners know where they can watch what you're doing, watch your work, and how they can reach out to you.
Oh, absolutely. All of our handle, thank to my husband. Let me give him some credit here. It's all Reset Lifestyle, but we only live in Instagram because this mama doesn't have time for Facebook or TikTok or whatever else is.
Wait, stop right there. So that's a very good lesson, right? Because I'm just going to guess that your ideal customer is probably on Instagram too, right?
Yeah.
And you don't have time, right? You're protective of your time to spend on multiple platforms. So you're one platform gal for social media, Reset Lifestyle. Perfect. Yeah. How about your website?
Oh, it's resetlifestyle.com. So it's just one all-in-one resetlifestyle.com.
For those of you listening who will be at today's Dietitian Symposium in May, when Tana will be there with us, we are just incredibly excited. Being in your presence, I mean, talking to you is always awesome, but being in your presence is next level. You're just amazing energy. And you will also be at Fancy in October, which I think is in Minneapolis this year, pretty sure.
I'm going where you're going, so we're good.
Cool. That's great. All right, friend. Thank you so much for your time today. And I really can't wait to see what's next for Reset Lifestyle and Ventana. So thank you so much.
And now for your content cure for this week. Your content cure is a guide to value add services that you can consider to enhance your practice. The link to download the resource is in the show notes.
That's it for today. Thank you for joining me. I trust that you found value in this episode. Be sure to follow this podcast and remember to download your resources in the show notes. Visit us at livingplaterx.com for complete show notes and access to all the evidence-based nutrition content you need to create a thriving practice that serves up the most delicious and irresistible content your clients are looking for. And don't forget to tune in again next Tuesday as we continue to explore the latest trends in nutrition content marketing.